Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. This is Pam Drennan, and this is the Cosmic Contact Show coming to you from the RBR Network. We're glad to have you joining us this evening for this cosmic journey we're getting ready to take. We are located out of Memphis, Tennessee, but you're talking to me out of Redmond, Washington. Anyone can access this show by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Renford Live or by going to the archives, which are available shortly after the show finishes. Now, if you're not online or you have someone who wants to hear the show, you can call in at 347-838-9142. If you want to ask a question, use the same number, 347-838-9142, and press the one button. And Annie, the moderator, will get you right in. And we will love hearing from everybody that calls in. We're going to have a special guest on tonight, and we've already got some callers who have logged in, and we're going to have a great show. But before I bring Rick Levine in, the master astrologer, I want to tell you about the RBR Network. We're on every day during the week. We have some shows every day. I'm always on Monday, the Cosmic Contact Show, and it's at 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Tuesday, we have the I Am Well Show, and that's at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. The Night Search Show is at 9:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And on Wednesday is the No Show at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. The Law of the Material Wealth Personal Development Program comes on live at 8:30 p.m. on Wednesday. Okay. Thursday, we have the Progressive News Weekly Show at 5:30, and that's located out of New York. So good stuff there, I'm sure. Friday is the Searchers Roadmap Show. That's at 1 p.m. The Dream Vision 7 Show is at 3 p.m. on Friday. And Saturday is Soul Town, Sound of Music, and that's at 3 p.m. And that's out of Memphis, Tennessee. The Dream Vision 7 show is Sunday at 3 p.m., and that's from Boston. Well, gang, we're having some technical difficulties right now. I am getting ready to get in touch with our guest this evening, Rick Levine. He is a master astrologer. I've been seeing if Annie, the moderator, could bring him in. I may have to call him in, but that will be no problem. But I wanted you to know a little bit more about Rick. He is one of the most widely published horoscope authors in the U.S., and with good reason. His daily astrology predictions are accurate and realistic. So to check him out, you can go to his website, starstariq.com. Or you can go to tarot.com, and there you can sign up for a free daily astrology reading. So be sure and do that. Rick has written several books and many magazine articles that have been published in The Mountain Astrologer, Fate, and Aspect Journal, and more. If you've read any of these magazines, you'll know what I'm talking about. Rick has made many media appearances over the years on radio and television. He has maintained a high profile of service with the astrology community. He founded the Center for Astrological Research and Education. He stays greatly involved and respected in the astrology world. Now, if you would like to talk to Rick and you have a question, be sure to call in to 347 888-9142, and Annie, the moderator, will get you in. Also, to Rick provides one-on-one personal consultations, and he can be reached at rlevine, R-L-E-V-I-N-E, at stariq.com, or call him at 425-260-6466. That's 425-260-6466. I know you all want to write this phone number down because you will want to ask him further or more questions. Okay, I believe we've got Rick here now. Let me, okay. Well, let's see. Let me bring Annie in here. Annie?
Have you got me in? Now,
yes.
Rick should have called back in. I'm still not seeing things yet, but he was going to call right back in. Do you see his number, the 425 number?
No, they're the 558-9551, right?
Yes, yes.
No, that is not popped up here yet. Let
okay.
me give him a call.
All right, I'll
call
give
him right
okay.
now.
Okay, you can call him. All right, I'm still trying to get in both ways, my phone and my...
Well, have you got yourself up on your computer? I've told everybody that we are having some technical difficulties.
It opens up and then it just sits there. I don't know what it's doing.
Honey, I don't either. And I can't get into the chat room this evening either. There is something going on. You think we're off the grid or something?
It keeps saying we can't. It keeps saying to me, oh, okay, now, all right.
Okay, I'm calling Rick
now. I might have it. I think I'm on. Okay, I think I'm on.
Hey, this is Rick. I'm in the queue, but it's probably okay. under
yes.
425-882-3481.
I see you.
Okay.
All right.
Wait,
so I'm there. I'm going to hang up on this call.
Well, wait a minute. What is the number I'm supposed to call?
I brought him in, Pam. He should be in.
Oh, okay. Oh,
okay.
You're on 882-3481. Got it. Okay.
Yes.
I'm here.
Okay.
Okay.
Hello. Good deal. Hello.
Hello.
Well,
oh, my gosh.
I know it feels that way. You know, before I even did the call... got online, I pulled up my angel cards, and I said, are we going to have a successful, I always like to ask, of course it's going to be a successful time with Rick this evening. And the first thing it said was perfect timing, so we didn't have that perfect timing, I guess. And then the other one I pulled out and says, if you believe. I kept saying, okay, I believe this is going to all work out today. Well, thank you for being with us this evening. We've got a lot of people that have already called in, and I know they would like to ask you questions, but I know you've got a lot of things you want to share, and I know you've been traveling, and I just really want you to tell us about what you're doing and what you want us to know about, as far as we even talked earlier during the week about maybe sharing Hillary's and Trump's their astrology, charts,
yep.
And maybe something you'd share with us on that, because everybody's talking about it. We're like, oh, wow, what's going on here? So we
yep.
want to hear your spin on everything.
So, first of all, you can hear me okay now, correct?
Perfect, yes. Yes.
Yay. Well, thank you, Pam, for having me back on the show, and greetings to everyone out there in cyberspace or wherever they are listening. And yeah, these are pretty incredible times. Being an astrologer doesn't save one from experiencing the moment as everyone else does, but it sure does give us or give me a different perspective on things. And so hopefully I can share a little bit of that perspective with you. And yes, I have been traveling some. The week after next, I'm down to Southern California for a conference down there. And then I'm back in Seattle for a while. In early January, I'm at Brighton Bush Hot Springs, which I do an annual retreat every year. And then I'm leading a 10-day retreat in Goa, India, on January 21st through the end of January. And you can find out more information about that by probably the best place is to go to my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Rick Levine Astrologer. Rick Levine Astrologer. Facebook.com/Rick Levine Astrologer. And, but, you know, yeah, the elections are certainly a big deal in what's going on in October. What I've been telling everybody is October starts off with this great sense of optimism and hope. We have the planet Jupiter, which is the planet of bigger and better and more, that's looming large. And then we get close to the middle of October and things turn a bit crazy. And all I got to say is that if you think things have already been crazy, or if you think the election is the American presidential election is, you know, out of control, wait until the middle of the month. You ain't seen nothing yet. That's what I have to say.
I believe it.
Yep. So.
Well, anyway, I thought October, that things were going to start getting better after September. Are we still going to be in chaos and confusion and disorder?
Well, I think that, look, September was a very difficult month. Mercury was retrograde for most of the month, and we had two eclipses. There were lots of stuff. There was lots of stuff to deal with throughout the month of September. October is, like I said, it's like offering us some hope and some kind of opening of the potential. And yet, by the middle of the month, I think we're on what I've been calling an instant replay of the past several years. You know how they say that at the moment of death, your whole life, you know, flashes in front of you, and it's not just one event or a few things. Somehow the entire however many years you've lived plays in a flash, and the whole thing plays. Well, it's almost like from the middle of October to the end of October, I think we're in a microcosm of the past 4 or 5 years. And I think that a lot of the political stuff, not just the presidential election, but stuff on gun control, gender equality, the whole, you know, usage of drugs and the war against drugs, the war against terrorism, civil rights, all these issues are going to be back up again. Not that they've ever gone away. And I don't think it's going to be the same as the confusion and the uncertainty of September, but I do think that there's going to be a, you know, kind of like a, I want to say a coming to Jesus moment, but I don't mean that necessarily in the religious sense. It's like we're going to have to, you know, make decisions and deal with stuff.
Well, and it's changes. I think that's the big thing, is that we're going through changes, and you know how everybody loves that.
Yes. Well, yeah, I mean, look, people resist change. Even if it's good change, our tendency is to resist it because we fear the unknown. What's that saying? The devil you know is better than the devil you don't.
Okay. I like that.
I'm not sure I agree with it, but I think that's the way most of us react. We'll take the safety and security of something that isn't okay rather than the potential of something different.
Yes, we want things that feel familiar to us. I agree with that. Well, Rick, tell us something about the election and how you feel about it and what you think is going on that, you know, as far as Hillary, did she have good health aspects the next few months?
Well, I'm not sure that I can comment on her health specifically. But I can comment on the outstanding things on each of their charts, both Clinton and Trump. I find it interesting that we refer to her as Hillary, first name, and we refer to him as Trump, last name. And it's just an interesting observation on the kind of unconscious minimization, is that the right word? The, making her somehow less than, and I think that there's a whole gender issue that's sitting behind all this, that whether people acknowledge it or not is certainly there. And I should say right up front that I've been chastised for being in public media with a perspective, and people saying you're an astrologer, you shouldn't have a you shouldn't have a bias. And to that I say bull crap. I have a bias, and I'm an astrologer. And you don't have to agree with my bias, just like I don't have to agree with yours. But being an astrologer doesn't take me out of the realm of having judgment. Now, having said that, when I talk about each of their charts, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, briefly, I will do that from a fairly neutral standpoint. However, I should just be very clear from the outset that that I was a supporter of Bernie Sanders, and that I will be voting for Hillary Clinton, although I'm not a tremendous fan of hers. And Donald Trump, to me, is a frightening prospect as president. So just getting that on the table so no one accuses me of unspoken biases, that is my bias. Now, having said that, what I find fascinating is how Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump both have extraordinary charts and both are very true to their chart. And they're very different charts. In 1947, there was an alignment of Saturn and Pluto. That these are slow-moving planets, and that alignment happens approximately every 33 years. And it happened in 1947, a couple months before Hillary was born, but still within range. And Saturn is the planet of authority. Saturn is the planet of rules. It's the planet of reality check. Saturn is karma, is you get what you deserve. Pluto is the lord of the underworld. Pluto is all the things that are hidden and secretive. And when Saturn and Pluto line up, historically, culturally, we go through some pretty intense periods of time. Saturn and Pluto were lined up in the summer of 1914, at the beginning of World War One, they were lined up again in the summer of 1947, which was the partition of India, and we think, oh great, India got its freedom from England, but we forget that there were nearly a million people killed, you know, in the border skirmishes and battles between the Hindus and the Muslims, that resulted in the partition of India and Pakistan and Bangladesh. So there's certainly negativity or difficult periods around that also. But with Hillary's chart, Hillary was born within a couple of days of Mars, the planet of war, the god of war, coming into the mix. So she was born with what we astrologers would call a stellium, or a triple conjunction, of Saturn, Pluto, and Mars. And this is a pretty serious, heavyweight signature to have. And it's the chart of someone who can be ruthless. This is the chart of someone who's going to do whatever it takes to get to where they're going. Now, the interesting thing is that that is one piece of her chart. The other piece of her chart is that she has the Sun, Venus, Mercury, and Jupiter, four planets, well, actually the Sun, Venus, and Mercury, all in the sign of Scorpio, which is a secretive sign, and it's the sign that's related to by the planets Pluto and Mars, which in her chart are aligned. What does this mean? This means that this is a woman who, or a person, whether she's a woman or a man, someone born with this signature, is someone who has a great deal of stress and conflict around the power and the authority and the keeping secrets. There's no question at all that we do not know a whole lot about what we think we know about Hillary Clinton. Now, that's being used to make her sound like she's the worst, you know, political candidate ever to come along. She's done all this bad shit and blah, 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 blah. Well, all I got to say is that when you compare her to the men who have done the same thing, we looked at them and said, well, that makes them a really good politician. So I think we got some weird stuff going on here about the judgment of Hillary. And again, I have to say I'm not a fan of Hillary, but I don't think that she's any worse than any other president that we've had, you know, whether, you know, and you look at other people who have been in the White House and people with power, you know, people like Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney and Bush, or both Bushes, even Bill Clinton, even JFK, Lyndon Johnson, none of these people were necessarily, they were politicians. And Hillary Clinton is a politician. Now, granted, we're looking at her, comparing her perhaps to an almost Bernie, who might have broken the mold, because as a politician, Bernie was apparently someone who was honest, whether you agreed with him or not. What you see was what you got. And so I think in some ways that's setting up Hillary to be a total disappointment when compared to Bernie by the people who supported Bernie Sanders. Now, having said that, we jump over to Donald Trump's chart, and Donald Trump has just as unusual and rare a chart, but it's totally, completely different. Donald Trump was born on the day of a full moon. He was actually born a couple of hours prior to a full moon. He's a Gemini with the moon in Sagittarius, and Sagittarius is a wide open, optimistic, philandering, adventurous. It's a sign that basically says go for it. It's expansive. A Sagittarius moon might be someone who would say, let's make this great. I mean, that's what Sagittarius does. It expands things. It makes things wonderful and great. Now, his full moon in Sagittarius is opposite the sun in Gemini, because the full moon is always opposite the sun, and the Gemini is the fast-talking, clever, I sometimes call the Geminis the con artists of the Zodiac. They don't have to be bad people, but, you know, Bob Dylan was a Gemini, and you think of, you know, him as a, you know, someone that even in interviews, he would give interviews in his early days that he would tell opposite stories that conflicted and claimed they were both true. Paul McCartney is a Gemini, you know, and there's the whole thing of, geez, you know, Paul McCartney, you know, he may even be dead. There's just this trickster element to Geminis in general. So we have Donald Trump born at a full moon, you know, with a Sagittarius full moon, but there's two other things that make this full moon chart extraordinary. One is that this full moon that he was born under, it was a total lunar eclipse. And in astrology, eclipses tilt the energy. They're erratic, they're unstable, they're polarizing. And Donald Trump was born within a couple of hours, 2 or 3 hours, of a lunar eclipse, a Sagittarius lunar eclipse, which is extraordinary, but it's even more extraordinary because that lunar eclipse was opposite the planet Uranus, which is the crazy planet. Now, when I say crazy, I mean Albert Einstein had a strong Uranus. Uranus is the genius planet. It's the other than normal planet. Uranus is the planet that breaks out of the box of normalcy, and it can be ingenious and brilliant, and it can also be erratic, electrical, and unreliable. Now, which is Trump? I'm not saying I'm reserving my bias. I'm just saying that when you look at Trump's chart and realize that he was born with the sun lined up with crazy and brilliant Uranus and opposite an eclipsed moon, that you begin to see, who he was. Now, I should also say that we have accurate time on Trump, because while he was stirring up the birther issue for Obama, making claims that Obama was born in Kenya, is a Muslim, and blah, 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 he divulged his birth certificate, which had an accurate time on it. So we also know that Donald Trump is a Leo rising, which is his showmanship. It's also his, his mane, his hair is leonine, but he has Mars rising. And that Mars rising is the aggressive, assertive, macho, fiery part that comes across as soon as he opens his mouth. I should mention that with Hillary's chart, the data is a little messier. And again, it's interesting because she being a secretive Scorpio with kind of this whole ruthless holding in energy, holding in power even to get to where she's going, there are contradictory stories from her saying she was born at 8 a.m., 8 p.m. Recently, an astrologer has dug up some information that allegedly comes from the Department of Records in Illinois, saying that her birth is at 2:18 a.m. We don't know. But that doesn't take away anything from what I said earlier. What I said earlier about her chart would be true whatever time of day she was born. So there you have Rick's short synopsis, without getting too technical, of how different these two candidates are. Hillary Clinton may be ruthless and may be controlling, and she's going to get, to where she's going. And yes, she's holding in a lot of stuff that we don't know about, but she has a sense of authority and consistency that is not going to be thrown off track by anything. Donald Trump, on the other hand, is at the opposite end of the spectrum. He may be brilliant and out of the box in his own right and a revolutionary in his own right, but he is a totally unreliable and erratic energy, even to himself. He doesn't know what he's going to do tomorrow.
Wow. No wonder we all feel confused and like, what's going on? Well, you know what? We come in with what we have for a reason. And this will be interesting. Rick, I've loved everything you've shared with us regarding them. Do you want to talk about anything about this month, something that we need to be aware of coming up? Or?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think, this month the full moon, the middle of the month around the 15th, and then the new moon at the end of the month around the 30th or 29th, I think. I'm not looking at my notes right now. These two lunations are particularly potent, and I think that this is what stirs up the aggression and the anger and the deep stuff that's coming up one more time. And it'll be interesting because it leads right up to the beginning of November and elections here, which I think are going to be a total disaster no matter what happens. I think they're going to be messy, uncertain, and I wouldn't trust any poll, and I wouldn't even trust the results of the election. But that's just the way it is. We got, it's going to be what it is. And for anyone who wants to be more informed about this month or any month, as you know, Pam, I do a detailed analysis of the month ahead every month at Soul Food Coffee House in Redmond, Washington. But that goes live on the internet, and anyone is welcome to subscribe to my YouTube channel. They can go to YouTube and search for me, Rick Levine, or they can always find the link to the current month's analysis by going to Star IQ, and as you said earlier, That's star, STARIQ, like smart, smart stars, stariq.com. And there's always a link on the homepage of stariq.com to take you to the deeper analysis of whatever the month is. And also my dailies are there also, you know, and as you mentioned earlier, I write these dailies for tarot.com, and I am the featured astrologer at tarot.com. That's T-A-R-O-T, tarot.com. But those daily column that I write, the daily horoscopes, are carried on, you know, MySpace, AOL, Yahoo, LA Times, Huffington Post, and other places. And so they're pretty widely distributed on the internet.
Well, I think that's fantastic. And I love that you are out there touching so many people's lives. Well, we have several callers on this evening, and would you like for me to bring a caller in and see? Now, okay, everyone, because we have so many people calling in, you get to ask one question. And I'm going to bring Stacy in from Florida. Hold on a second here. Hi, Stacy.
Hello.
Hi, Stacy.
Hi. My question is, how do you do your astrology before I, do you need my birth date or?
If I'm going to look at your chart, I would need your birth date, place, and time. And if we look at any charts here, this is not to be confused with a real in-depth analysis. I mean, I'm looking at the same information, but a full analysis basically requires me to spend a whole lot more time before I just say something off the cuff. So, you know, there's no such thing as quick answers to deep questions.
Okay. Okay.
But what is your birthday?
12/16. Do you need the year?
12/16, yes, year?
72.
72. And what time of day were you born?
8:30 p.m.
8:30 p.m. sounds rounded off. Is that from a birth certificate, or is that something that someone told you?
That's what my mother told me, so...
Okay, I'm taking that with a grain of salt. If it was 834, I would trust it more. This is just my experience. What city were you born in, Stacy?
I was born in Spanish Town, Jamaica.
And for the record, that is, so my astrology software looks that up and says that was Eastern Standard Time and 17 degrees north, 59 minutes, 76 west, 57 minutes, because we need the latitude and longitude to do the accurate, you know, chart. And again, this is a chart for 8:30 on December 16th, 72. But I don't believe, you know, again, it's like if you don't get the data from a birth certificate, I take it with a grain of salt. Now, having said that, looking at your chart, you know, you are a Sagittarius with a Taurus moon, which means that there's a part of you, in effect, if I say like Donald Trump, don't take it as an insult if you're an anti-Trumper, or a compliment if you're for Trump. But like Trump, your Sagittarius sun is basically going to tend to be optimistic. It's going to tend to look at things, as, you know, what you can do. However, your moon in Taurus is much more realistic, much more grounded, much more, I would say, cautious, but there's a part of you that really kind of always is pulling things back. You know, you're a dreamer. You're a dreamer, and yet you have this kind of, you know, biting, realistic streak that, you know, that is part of you. So what's your question? Does that make sense, what I just said?
Yes. Yes, it does.
So what's your question?
My question is, lately I feel like I'm in a whirlwind. It's like nothing seems to be going right. It's like one step forward and 10 back. I feel as if I'm in a time zone or something that's where I don't belong.
Yeah. Well, I would imagine that for the last few years, your life has been under a bit of stress because Saturn, as it moved through Scorpio, was opposite the sign of your moon in Taurus, and now is Saturn is in Sagittarius, heading for your sun, which it won't reach until around next year at this time. But I think that the important thing to understand is that there's some big changes coming up for you, and that you can't give up. That basically, just because things have been difficult, look, we're all going through whirlwinds. We're all in these crazy times. So you're not alone there. But the timing of your chart is such that I see some really major transitions, breakthroughs occurring. Hang on, I'll give you a quick sense of when. I think that it'll be next spring when you begin to really see some major breakthroughs. You may have felt like you were right on the edge of them over this summer, June, July, but things didn't quite happen.
Right.
And I think that it's really important to just keep on doing what you need to do. Don't let up, don't give up, and know that by, 2017, which is not far away as it sounds, that things are going to begin to make sense. But there's still, it's going to really take through. See, I think that for you, that a year from now, there's going to be another wave of some testing and needing to push through. But by the time you're through that, I think that you're going to be flying. I think that, by holiday season next year and then on through that spring, you're going to be in, kind of an entirely different and new situation. And that may seem like very far away, but we're talking here not individual days or, events. We're talking about larger life scenarios. So hang tight and keep pushing. Okay. Don't give up.
Wow, it's easier said than done. I'm like gripping my teeth with the rope. Gosh, brutal.
Don't give up.
I'm not. Trust me, I'm not. I'm hanging, but I'm not giving up.
All right, yeah, hang around. Don't hang. We don't need that kind of stuff. All right, thank you, Stacey. Good luck.
Thank you, Stacey. Yes, good luck. Well, look, we got some more people online, Rick. I want to bring Georgia in. She's next. She lives in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Georgia.
Hi, Georgia.
Hi. I love listening to you, and I've read a lot of your things online. Pam got me onto you. I dabble in astrology. And
what's your birthday?
I was born in 8/31/46. I was born in Alaska.
8/31/46. I'm sorry, go ahead. Say that again.
I was born in Fairbanks, Alaska.
What time
and
of day? What time of day?
7:40 a.m.
7:40 a.m.
I have the birth certificate from the hospital.
In Fairbanks, Alaska.
And my chart shows an interception, and I have never been able to quite understand what the interception is.
All right, hang on one second. Hold on.
Okay.
All right, so let me just hit up that question for you really quickly, because Fairbanks, Alaska is at almost 65 degrees north. And
right.
What happens is that when we're on the equator, the 12 signs of the zodiac are each equal 30-degree segments. And as we go further away from the equator toward the north or south pole, we get distortion. It's like trying to fit, you know, a three-dimensional object onto a flat piece of paper, and things need to get bent out of shape. Now,
yeah.
if you think of the astrology chart that shows the eastern and western horizon, the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. If you live on the equator, it rises every day at 6 a.m. and sets every day at 6 p.m. year-round. But if you live up in Alaska or born in Alaska, there are times of the year when the sun doesn't go beneath the horizon or doesn't come above the horizon. And this messes with the traditional ways that we astrologers do charts, because we do charts from the middle latitudes rather than the extreme north or south. And what happens is that the further away we get from the equator, the more distortion there is, which creates what astrologers call interceptions, or areas of the chart that have a lot more signs stuffed into a shorter amount of area. Because if the sun is only up for 3 hours a day, it has to go through theoretically all those signs, you know, six signs theoretically. And so it's kind of a mathematical anomaly. And quite frankly, there are about 30 different ways that astrologers use to create what are called these houses or sectors. And I always say, if any of them really worked, then we wouldn't have 30 of them. So I am not a fan of the concept of interceptions. I know many astrologers use them, and many astrologers make them work. But I think that they're an artificial concept, and so I can't explain your interceptions other than if I was your astrologer, I'd do away with them.
No, oh, okay. Well, I have a great chart, so I fell in love with astrology. And I happened to be born just a few days after Bill Clinton. And so it's been a wonderful, I've been extremely lucky with all of that. I have those four planets in Libra on my ascendant.
Right, and like Bill Clinton, you have a Libra rising.
Right.
Libra is the sign of the diplomat or the diplomatic person. And in those few days between you and between Bill's birth and your birth, the intensity of the Neptune-Mars-Venus-Chiron conjunction in Libra has kind of dissipated. And I'd say you get the better end of the deal, because Venus has moved closer towards Jupiter in your chart. Venus, the planet of love and money and nice things and sweetness, has moved closer to Jupiter. And that, in effect, enables you to have nice things. Bill, it's not that Bill doesn't have nice things in his life, but it's confused with his confusing energy. You know, the Mars conjunct Neptune, Grant Louis, one of my favorite astrologers who wrote in the 40s and
50s.
I have all
his books.
Yep, he said that the Mars-Neptune conjunction was the sign of the shapeshifter. You know, and if you think of Bill Clinton, who could appear like absolutely magical and giant, you know, big, regardless of whether you liked his politics, or if things were going wrong, he could appear like not just distraught, but like almost powerless. And that Mars-Neptune conjunction, which you share with him, is basically the person who can use magic and in the sense of the old word glamour to basically create spells that make themselves bigger or more powerful or more beautiful or angrier or whatever than they really are. And so it's an interesting little piece of the puzzle that you have that you do share with him. However, you know, unlike Bill, you have a moon in Scorpio, which I think gives you a whole lot more depth and intensity emotionally. I think Bill is much better at kind of writing things off. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And the sun in Virgo, which really helps a lot. Make me very organized.
And your sun in Virgo and moon in Scorpio actually work well together. You know, the other thing is that these last few years have probably been a bit of rock and roll for you, as Uranus over the last several years, you know, going back to probably 2010, 11, 12, as it, you know, came over your descendant, was opposite a bunch of your Libra planets, and even up until now, when it's opposite your Venus and your Jupiter, kind of creating a little bit of craziness or instability in relationships or in your relationship with your outer world, your outer life. Oh, excuse me. And I think now that Pluto has still yet to follow that up. So I think that there's some, you know, kind of deep changes still happening. But I think that the biggest part of the rock and roll, if you will, is probably, for at least for now, played through.
Do you do charts for people? Do you do readings?
I do, and if anyone's interested, they can send me an email at rlevine, R-L-E-V-I-N-E, rlevine@StarIQ.com. But I have a rather substantial waiting list right now, and basically what I'll do is I'll put you on that waiting list and won't contact you, you know, until I'm, you know, within about a month. Right now I'm very far out. I'm way behind on reading. So, yes, I do some consultations, though.
Okay, that'd be great. Well, I could ask another 10 questions because I really am.
Nope, we're on a short.
I'm on. All right, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for your interest.
Bye-bye.
Well, thank you for calling in, Georgia. Always love to hear from you. Well, Rick, we've got a couple more people, and we have a few more minutes. I've got about 12 more minutes before the show is finished. So let me bring in Kate from New Jersey.
Hi, Kate.
Hi, how are you?
Well, I'm actually pretty good.
Good. I'm
considering how crazy it is out there. How are you?
Good. I'm like the last caller. I really like astrology, and I've been trying to incorporate it more into my dealings with people. So I was wondering if I give you somebody's compatibility, would you be able to do that, or?
No, and I'll tell you why not, and that is that there is an ethical issue that I have with looking at someone's chart who isn't present or who hasn't given me the data directly. And so I'm happy to take a look at your chart. And the fact is that somehow, oddly enough, the issues of who's in your life often show up in your chart. But I'm not going to look at someone else's data on the air.
Oh, that's fine. Okay, yeah, I'll give you mine. Is that okay? Okay.
Yep, go ahead.
6/26/75.
6/26/75. Time of day?
5:26 p.m.
5:26 p.m. And city?
Bronx, New York.
I'm a Bronx boy.
Aw, awesome.
Davison Avenue.
Which one?
Davison Avenue. Born in the Bronx and lived there for my first few years. Where do you live now? You said New Jersey?
Yes.
Got it. But by the time you were born, 1975, I had escaped the East Coast and was living in Minneapolis on my way to the West Coast. All right, so we are looking at your chart for June 26, 1975 at 5:26 p.m. in the Bronx, New York. And that puts your sun at 4 degrees of Cancer, Saturn in Cancer, moon in Aquarius, And Saturn square Jupiter Mars. God, you know, the feeling that I get from your chart is, and Mars exactly opposed Uranus, or closely opposed Uranus with Chiron, and you know, the feeling that I get from your chart is the two sides of you and how different they are. Now, that's not terribly uncommon, but there's a part of you that is likely emotionally contained and reserved and fearful, you know, fearful of being too vulnerable, of and yet the amount of power Sun square Pluto and how intensely crazy you can get if someone messes with you in the wrong way. It's like you're a person who I'd much rather have as a friend than an enemy.
Wow. Yeah.
Is that true?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I imagine that when someone pisses you off in the wrong way, you know, and I get the sense that with the Saturn and the Sun in Cancer, and the Sun squaring Pluto, this may go back to family of origin stuff and, you know, either boundary issues or someone controlling, or you saying, I'm never going to be controlled like that. But there's a dance that you do that makes it difficult sometimes for you to know when to let down your guard and when to not. And I think that you can be so good at holding your own space and being tough when you need to, that sometimes it prevents you from having the yummy, warm experience that you would like to, because you become too good at keeping your shit contained, so to speak. Can I
mm-hmm.
say that? We're on the internet. I guess I can say anything.
Yes.
Does that make sense to you a little, Kate?
Totally, yes. Mm-hmm.
Totally, not just a little. Okay, then there's the other piece of your chart that probably no other astrologer would have talked about, because it's just a pet interest of mine, and that is your connection with the metaphysical realms, the part of you that's not about your day job or your relationships or the topsy-turvy craziness that you encounter at times in your life. Because I look at your life, I look at your chart, and I see the life of someone who has very abrupt, this would be the Mars opposite Uranus, very abrupt changes sometimes that come out of the blue, whether it's in a relationship where something goes completely crazy or work or something where things just happen that are unexpected, but there's a whole fated or fateful side of your chart that has to do with a complicated pattern based upon seven-pointed stars. And if you think of a seven-pointed star, which is a lot more complicated than a five-pointed star, and the five-pointed stars are metaphysical but beautiful, magical. You have the Sun, the Moon, and your Mars-Chiron conjunction on 3 points of a five-pointed star. So I get the fact that you are metaphysically oriented. There's that whole, you know, in touch with the magic, the beauty. I would assume that there is some artistic or creative, you know, urge that, you know, that whether you express it or not, that is strong in your life, that is not about following a plan, but is more about the creative or metaphysical or spiritual. But on top
Definitely.
Of that, your Sun and Neptune are on 2 points of a seven-pointed star, and your Moon and Uranus are on 2 points of a seven-pointed star, which would lead me to believe that there's stuff from the other side that leaks through into your life, however aware you may be of that. You know, as a kid, it can just be, you know, the imaginary things, the things that go bump in the night, ancestors, ghosts, goblins, spirit guides, whatever. But somehow this is the complicated part of Kate that even people who know you don't know you.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow, that is just amazing.
Oh, I love being amazing. It's not me being amazing, though, I should say. It's me simply, anyone can do what I do, and that is astrology is a wealth of information. I began learning astrology or interested in it in my teen years, And it's the one thing, I mean, through, you know, 4 years of college and a year and years, you know, of study of different subjects and learning things and different careers, astrology has enriched and continues to enrich my life in so many ways, because the meaning up there and the meaning down here are one and the same. The illusion is that the cosmos are out there, when in fact the within and the without are identical. You know, the old saying from Hermes Trismegistus, the emerald tablets that say, as above, so below, that's really only half of it. It's as above, so below, the within and the without are the same. And what that really means is that the planets up there aren't making stuff happen in our lives. It's the illusion is that there is an up there and an in here, when the fact of the matter is that they're one and the same. We're just riding a wave that is humming at the midpoint of what's cosmically macrocosm and what's, you know, inside, you know, psyche. So the psyche and the cosmos, in effect, are the same.
That is so powerful. Wow.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Send me an email at rlevine, R-L-E-V-I-N-E, rlevine@stariq.com, or go to stariq.com. If you go to stariq.com, you can sign up to be on my mailing list. You will not be spammed. In fact, I don't send out enough stuff, but that way, at least if there's, you know, events that are coming up in your area, and I think I mentioned earlier, I have this weekend retreat in the old growth forest of Oregon in January. And then for the adventurous of us, and this is filling up already, there'll be a 10-day retreat on experiencing the spiritual dimensions of astrology, and that's going to be in Goa, India, and that's going to be absolutely magical. And then I think the next cool thing will be in May, I'll be down in Costa Rica with a handful of other amazing astrologers, including Kai Pacha. And if you haven't, if your listeners, Pam, have not listened to the weekly Pele report, you can Google this or go to YouTube. And Pele, who is the goddess of the fire of the volcanoes, P-E-L-E, and his name is Kai Pacha, K-A-Y-P-A-C-H-A. His weekly Pele report is a really wonderful astrology zap, 15-20 minute zap every week. He is producing a conference down in Costa Rica that'll be on the beach on the Pacific Ocean, and that'll be May 6th, and you can find out more information about that also by getting on my mailing list.
Thank you, Kate. I will. Thank you so much. Thank you for all the enlightenment. I greatly appreciate it.
Yay.
Yay.
Thank you for your interest.
Thank you, everyone, for calling in. And I know you want to get with Rick and get a reading, so get on his list. He's got a long one, but he will get to you eventually. And you know, I have went in a couple of times and signed up for your newsletter, which I have not received yet, but, or, you know, whatever. So
that's because I don't spam
you.
I don't send out enough information.
I know. Well, that's okay. That's why we get you on the show whenever we can. And definitely want to get you back on the show again soon. Well, we're at the end of the show. You have put out so much great energy. We just loved everything you said. There was a couple of people that we couldn't get to, but we'll get you the next time, gang, so keep calling in. And you have any last words of wisdom for us, Rick, at this time? Or you said it all.
Well, words of wisdom. You know, these are crazy times, and the solutions to big issues don't come from out there. They come from in here. And so, you know, I would say two things. Number one, you know, take care of the things in your own life rather, and this isn't instead of focusing on bigger issues, but alongside of that. We can't focus on changing the world unless we're also willing to change ourselves. And then the last thing I would say, which I would say as often as I could these days, and that is love trumps hate.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, everyone. And Annie, did you have something you want to say in closing?
Well, thanks so much for a great show, Rick. Everything was great that you said. My birthday is July 7th, 1962. Do you have anything? Do you have anything that I should be looking for or be aware of? Or
July 7, 52?
62.
Oh, I just made you into an old lady. July 7, 62, do you know what time of day?
Oh, I don't know exactly. I know it was 7 something in the evening.
No, then just generally speaking. You're mid Cancer. So your life also has been through some real craziness. There's still deep transformation that's going on, but it's not new stuff. The deep stuff that's processing now through relationship, and that doesn't necessarily mean through a single relationship, but through your relationship with the world. It is probably more a result of the energy that was unleashed with the craziness of the past couple of years. But I think that that for the most part, you know, you're through. You've done that hard work, so to speak. You know, and now you got to keep showing up while it plays on through.
Great, I'll be there. That's good information.
All right. Yes,
the last
good.
Couple years have been trying.
Yeah. All right, then.
Okay.
Well, thank you, everyone, for calling in, and what a great show. And, Rick, we want you back again as soon as possible. And we will see you next Monday at 4:30 on the Cosmic Contact Show. Call in.
Thank you.
Have a great
Bye-bye.
Week.